If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we're in chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, this is God's word. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Darius was the ruler of the Medes and Persians. If you'll recall from the end of the last chapter, they had taken over. The kingdom of Babylon was no more, even though things were going on in Babylon. They were now under the rule of the Medes and Persians, and Darius was the king. Darius set up 120 folks in government. It just fills my mind with awe to think of a government that only had 120 people in charge. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just 120. And then over those 120, he set three. And they were the ones to whom the 120 reported. And Daniel was one of those three. But it doesn't matter how big a government is or how small a government is. It's people. And people are a mess. And the other people found out that Daniel was about to be put in charge of the whole thing. Darius was so pleased with Daniel, he was so much better than the other guys. He was initially just assigned as one of the three, but he was a standout. And so the king was going to put him in charge of all the others, and the others didn't like that. So they tried to find something that Daniel had done wrong, and they couldn't. Daniel was a guy in whom they could find nothing to criticize, and they said, if we're going to find something on him, it's going to have to do with his devotion to his God. And so they went to the king with a plan and told a lie. And the lie was, we've all agreed this is what you need to do. What's we've all? Listen. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree. Was that truth or lie? Absolute lie. But they had to lie in order to get what they wanted. That didn't turn out real well for them. As you'll recall, they became cat food. And people who lie now in order to try and get their way need to know that God promises twice in the book of Revelation when he describes who's going to end up in the lake of fire. He gives a list of folks who are destroyed by God's wrath. And there's only one group in that list that gets special emphasis. Liars. Those who practice deceit. I'd say in that case, we ought to take it pretty seriously. God hates lying. So they lied to the king. And they said, all the administrators, well, Daniel was one of the three, and he was really the preeminent one, and he wasn't there for this because he, of course, would never have agreed. But they said, we've all agreed that the king should issue this decree and enforce it, and they knew that the government of the Medes and Persians was a government of laws, not just man. And if something was a law, it couldn't be overturned. So for the next 30 days, No one is allowed to pray except to the king. If you have a request to make, it goes to the king. This was a way of exalting the king, making him look supreme. No king is supreme. No government is supreme. We've talked before about the fact that God requires us to submit to those who are in authority because all authority, Romans 13, comes from God. But we've always emphasized when we talk about this that no one, no individual, no group of individuals, no government, no one has authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. If somebody tries to get you to do something that God says is wrong, the answer is no. No. Well, but they're an authority. No, not at that point, they're not. If somebody's trying to get you to do something that is wrong, they have no authority to do so. And likewise, if someone is trying to forbid you doing what is right, they have no authority to stop you. None. It doesn't just diminish their authority, it voids it. They don't have any authority to require what God forbids or to forbid what God requires. Daniel is a model for us of how to respond rightly when the authority does wrong. King Darius was duped. He was fooled foolishly into signing this decree. He should have known inherently that it was just wrong and it was an appeal to his ego. But precisely because it was an appeal to his ego and all the guys he'd put in charge, except Daniel, were asking him to do this, telling him this is what you need to do. We're all in agreement. All the administrators have signed off on this. Now we just need your signature. Come on, let's do it. This is a great idea. We all think so. He should have said, where's Daniel? But he didn't. Daniel was the guy who he wanted to be number one. Where is he? All these other guys are here, and they all said that they've all agreed and that it's 100%, so who am I to say no? Well, he was the king, that's who. He should have said no, but he didn't. He went along with it. And Daniel found out about it. Daniel said, by golly, I'm not going to submit to that. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to tell the king there's no way that I'm going to go along with this. Is that what he did? No. He just kept doing what he'd been doing all along. If you want a summary statement for today's devotional, keep on doing the right thing. Don't wait until it's illegal and then say, well, we need to pray. We need to pray now. Well, what if the government tells us we cannot preach the gospel? How much are you preaching the gospel now? Daniel didn't start praying three times a day in defiance of the decree. Daniel simply kept on doing what he had been doing. These other folks knew that he did it. That's why they chose that. They knew he was a man of prayer. Would that be said of you? Do your enemies and your friends observe that you are a person who prays? Not because you go around saying, okay, excuse me, I have to pray for a moment. But simply because if they spend time with you, they're going to see that that happens. And so Daniel simply kept on doing three times a day what he'd always been doing. Look at verse 10. Three times a day, middle of the verse. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. These men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king. They said in verse 13, Daniel, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Notice the wording. He still prays three times a day. Not he's started praying three times a day. He's just keeping on doing what he was doing before. He's keeping on doing the right thing. And so the king was distressed, but he had to keep his word. And so he went and he gave the order to throw Daniel into the lion's den. And he said in verse 16, the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." In verse 20, he called out to Daniel after that horrible night of no sleep. He said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" That's the goal, folks. That's the way we're supposed to live. We don't serve God when it's convenient. We don't serve God when it's going to make us look good. We don't serve God when it feels right. We serve God continually. He's the boss. He's the ruler. And amazingly, he's our Savior. How remarkable is that? That the God who created the universe, the God who rules the universe, when all of us have messed up, chose to take the punishment we deserve so that we could not only be forgiven, but given new life. The drama of this story, quite remarkable. They throw Daniel down into a pit. And it is a picture. It is a picture of Jesus. Why? Why do you say that? Because they put a stone over the opening and they sealed it with the official seal. Does that remind you of anybody where they put a stone in front of the grave and sealed it with the official seal? Of course, Jesus. And Daniel, in a very real sense, was brought back from the dead. Because when you went into that lion's den, you were dead meat, as they say. And yet Daniel came forth, alive and unharmed. When they brought him out, however, there was not a mark on him. When our Lord arose after 3 days in the tomb, he still had marks on him. He's far better than Daniel. Far more wonderful. And those scars do not lessen his beauty. They make him all the more magnificent because those are the reminders of what he did for us. He died for us and then conquered death. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He spent the night in the lion's den. And Daniel answered the king, verse 21, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." Daniel wasn't in trouble because he did something wrong. Daniel was in trouble because he did the right thing. He served King Darius, but he served God first. And that's the way we're to live. He didn't say, "I'm not going to work for you anymore." He said, "I'm still your loyal servant. O king, live forever." He didn't blame the king for being hoodwinked by all those officials. He didn't say, "What were you thinking?" He just said, "You know, I have never failed to do the right thing for you, but I do serve God. God found me innocent, and that's what matters. I am so happy to report that I will be found innocent, not because like Daniel I've always done everything right, but because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to me. It is credited to my account, and you can be found innocent too. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And so, the king was overjoyed, verse 23, and gave orders to lift Daniel from the den. And no wound was found on him because he intimidated the lions. Now, the reason that he was unharmed was because he had trusted in his God. That's verse 23. So at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children, and the lions didn't even let them hit the floor. The lions had spent the whole night looking at Daniel and not allowed to eat anything. It doesn't say they didn't growl. It says they couldn't harm him. A lion is a powerful, powerful animal. This wasn't a lion. It was a den of lions. And one angel went in there and communicated to the lions, you leave him alone. Did you know that God assigns angels to look after his children? The enemy may have all kinds of junk that he wants to throw at you. But God has an angelic army that is available all the time, not at your command, but at his. My father's prayer when we were going anywhere was, Lord, give your angels charge concerning us. Well, what does that mean? It means tell them what you want them to do concerning us. That's a good prayer. An angel stopped the lions. When these wicked liars were thrown into the lion's den, the angel was like, there you go. You were good all night. Now you're being fed. And the lions ripped those people to shreds, crushing their bones. You and I need to understand that those who refuse to do what God says are going to face his wrath. And it's going to be a whole lot worse than the temporary death that comes from a lion. Jesus said, don't be afraid of somebody who can kill your body. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one who, having destroyed the body, and cast you into hell. And then he goes on and he tells his followers, now, you don't have to be afraid. So King Darius issued a decree telling everybody everywhere, you better reverence Daniel's God. Still didn't know Daniel's God. He just knew Daniel. And he knew Daniel knew Daniel's God. And he at least recognized there is this one God whom Daniel serves continually, and that is the secret of his success. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.